and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We do love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to BendRadioShow@gmail.com. Ride along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. First thing I want to make a mention of is, do you believe in looking at Mother Nature about whether spring is here? The reason why I'm bringing this up is because where we're located in the northern part of the country, the geese, how shall I put this, have arrived. Would that be fair to say, Tigger?
That they've migrated.
There you go. They've migrated back north again.
We're a flyover state.
We are. And oh my gosh, those honkers, you can hear them from within the cabin. And then you go outside on the deck and you just see them soaring.
I think it's premature.
Really?
Because we're only the middle of March. We could still have a lot of winter yet. See, I think it's premature. I think that they were being a little overambitious.
Because we did have some very, very nice temperatures here just over the last couple of weeks. We've jumped from, oh my gosh, the other day we broke records at 70 and then dropped back down into the 30s and the 20s. So I can see what you're saying, but regardless, I kind of believe in following Mother Nature. So I'm kind of feeling like spring isn't too far off. Speaking of that, that takes me to our first news story. As we head to Yellowstone, we're back on March 9th. Yellowstone biologists working in the northern part of the park reported seeing the first grizzly bear of the spring season. The bear was observed in the backcountry scavenging on a bull bison carcass. The first reported grizzly bear sighting of 2025, by the way, occurred back on March 14th. And in 2024, it occurred on March 3rd. And then I thought I'd skip to this one also. In 22 and 23, it came out in March 7th. So right around this area, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because people like to go to Yellowstone. They like to go to the backcountry. I often encourage people right now is the best time to go visit because there's hardly any tourists. But this is reminding you that bears are emerging from hibernation and they're looking for food. And they're going to be feeding on elk and bison that have maybe passed away or died over the winter. Also, remember, bears at this time, they react aggressively to encounters with people, especially when they're feeding on carcasses. And females, also, you're going to watch for those because those sows, they're going to be having their cubs here in April and early May. So I just wanted to keep everybody on the lookout in case you're heading to somewhere that is known as bear country.
Whenever you talk about bears, it always reminds me of the movie Remnant.
Oh, that's a good one.
And that's 10, 11 years old.
Leonardo DiCaprio was the lead character
in
that.
Yeah, that was a good movie. That was a good movie. But I think of the bear scene all the time. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to be spoiling it for you, but there's a scene in there that just makes you, ah!
It does. It does. And it makes you look at what those back in the day lived through and survived.
So watch it. Stream it tonight.
Now, this next story I'm bringing up because I had this all over my social media feed this last week and I fell for it, okay? Here's the deal. Wildlife officials in South Dakota say anglers frustrated with carp at a South Dakota reservoir may have heard of a surprising rumor this last week that piranhas are being introduced to solve the problem. Well, the story centers on Belle Fourche Reservoir, where carp populations have long been blamed for muddy water and competition with popular sport fishing. However, according to the tongue-in-cheek announcement, specially bred piranhas would be released into the reservoir to target carp while ignoring species like walleye, northern pike, and channel catfish. In the fictional scenario, a fisheries technician claimed the fish had been raised on a carp-only diet and conditioned to see carp as their sole food source. The supposed plan suggests that the piranhas would gradually reduce carp numbers, a species known for reproducing quickly and stirring up sediment in lakes and reservoirs. But the idea of introducing piranhas into a South Dakota reservoir is not an actual wildlife management plan.
It sounds cool, though. though.
It does, right? The concept is widely misunderstood as satire playing off of anglers' frustrations with invasive carp. Real fisheries management strategies typically involve tools such as netting, target harvest, habitat management, and stocking programs rather than introducing predatory species from other continents.
I think it would be so cool, though, if that would happen.
It would be. It would be.
Because could you imagine if I would catch a piranha on my fly rod?
Well, and the thing is when this story came through my feed, I totally fell for it. I even told you, Tigger, when we were driving.
When you told me about it and you said, well, they're not going to feed on the sport species like walleye and northern pike. And I thought, how in the world are they going to know the difference on this? Nonetheless, it still would be cool.
It would be. And it was funny watching the sparked reactions on social media. And actually, a lot of anglers came back joking that they'd support the idea as long as the walleye were left alone.
Now, did you know that in some states, it's illegal to own a piranha, even
what?
As a pet?
I did not know
yes.
that. I've never heard of that before.
I looked
before.
Into, because I knew you were going to cover this, I looked into our particular state, and yes, we can have an aquarium and own a piranha, but it is restricted and illegal in several U.S. states like California, Florida, and Texas.
Well, I'm going to put it this way. I have no desire to ever own a piranha nor go swimming where there are piranhas in the water.
When I was a wee one, I remember, and this is many, many years ago, I remember going into the pet store in the mall that we have when I was a little kid. And that was always a treat when mom would let us go in there and kind of look around. And I loved to go and look at the piranha. And they had piranhas in there. You can call mom. You can call
really?
Joey and ask her. Yes, they had a piranha in there. I just thought it was so neat. And every once in a while, as kids as a treat, we would get goldfish, but they died by the time we got home.
Staying on the topic of fish, authorities in East Texas say a man has been arrested after investigators claim he altered the weight of a fish during a fishing tournament.
Another one.
Officials with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department say Curtis Lee Daniels entered a largemouth bass in a tournament at Lake Fork that was later found to contain 3 3/4 ounce fishing weights inside its stomach. According to an affidavit, investigators also reported finding the same type of weights in the man's boat. The fishing tournament offered an overall prize of $11,500. Daniels was arrested Sunday and booked into the Wood County Jail. He is being held on a $20,000 bond on a charge of violating a fishing tournament law, which is considered a third-degree felony in Texas. If convicted, the man could face up to 10 years in prison and fines up to $10,000. Officials say other possible penalties include losing his fishing license and paying civil restitution.
I don't know why somebody would even try that. We covered stories. There was, 3 years ago that the big scuttlebutt where those guys did and they got
lost
the
boats.
Yeah, they lost boats and sponsorships and their fishing careers were over and fines. And
I agree. I can't believe this is still happening. But the other side of it, I look at it is how long has this been happening?
True that.
All right, on that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this.
Limousine, Limflex, Angus, Simicross, genetics built for calving ease, growth, and profitability. Crew, that is Reynolds Land and Cattle. Friday, March 20th at the ranch in Sanford, Colorado, 60 yearling bulls, 32-year-old bulls, and 10 yearling open heifers from the top cut of the herd.
All bulls are pap tested, fertility tested, and trick tested, ready to go to work for you.
Full details available at ranchchannel.com and reynoldslandandcattle.com. Reynolds Land and Cattle, performance you can count on. Crew, this is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Check this out, coming in 2026. RanchChannel.com proudly launches the Sales Series, your inside track to the world of livestock and ranching excellence. From elite bulls, heifers, and horses to the land and equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture, we bring you the stories behind the operations, the vision behind the genetics, and the focus that can elevate your herd. Whether you're building, expanding, or fine-tuning your ranch, dive deeper into the innovations and livestock programs changing the game.
The Sales Series, only on RanchChannel.com, where smart ranching starts. It's the sale worth waiting for. CK Bar Ranch. Simmental and Simmangus bulls designed to add pounds and profit to your program, where bulls offer the best of both worlds with proving calving ease and growth to maternal strength. Join the CK Bar Ranch crew Friday, April 3rd at St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota. Bid and buy online at DV Auction and videos, catalogs, and sale information available at RanchChannel.com and CKBarRanch.com. Join us April 3rd in St. Ange, South Dakota for a powerful set of bulls ready to go to work for you.
Welcome back to the Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, aka Beck, riding like shotgun. My co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. With St. Paddy's Day just a few days away, you know,
you
we had to go there.
You always get goofy about St. Patrick's Day because you claim that you are Irish, and I have questioned the fact that you're Irish. I love everybody being Irish, and I mean, I'm just full-blood German. There's nothing interesting about me whatsoever, but you claim that you're, what, a quarter Irish?
Yes.
I've questioned that.
Okay, so here's the deal. Yeah, with the last name of Wanner, that's definitely
a German name. Yep,
yes,
yep,
there
yep.
we go. However, on my grandmother on my dad's side, she was fully Irish. And get this, much so as my great-great-grandmother on my dad's side, her maiden name was actually McGinnis.
Okay, that's cool.
And then how cool is this? I went and I quick had looked up some stuff getting excited for St. Paddy's Day, and I found out that my great-great-great-grandfather, if you can follow me, John McGinnis, he was actually born in Dromore, County Down in Northern Ireland. County Down is in Northern Ireland. But he was born back in 1778 and was a blacksmith. And I bring this up because he migrated his family to North America via Canada. But this is where it's cool. We hear about health, longevity, and all that. Born in 1778, he didn't pass away until 1881, meaning he was 102 or 103 years old.
Respect.
That's what I'm like, hey.
Now, what did you say the last name was? McGillis?
McGinnis.
McGinnis. Okay, do you know why that they will add, like, Mac in front of something?
Son.
I didn't know you knew that.
Did you know this about...
I didn't know that you knew that. Yeah, Mac in front of means son of, like, the father's name or the grandfather's name. So what was the name again?
McGinnis. And
so Guinness was his father's name or his granddad's name.
Right. And find out this, the McGinnises, they either spelled McGinness or they're spelled McGinness. And I'm related to all of them. But regardless, what I'm getting back to is they all, even the Guinnesses from the beer company back in the day, they all come from that same County Down in Northern Ireland.
Okay, so speaking of Guinness and how Irish are you, how many pints of Guinness are consumed on St. Patrick's Day?
I have no idea.
Take a guess. Worldwide, how many pints of Guinness are consumed on St. Paddy's Day?
I'm just going to say 25 million.
That was a good guess. 13 million pints of Guinness are consumed. I'm not done. What's the average number of drinks consumed per person on St. Patrick's Day?
4.2. Really?
Irish than I thought. Now, historically, what color is considered disrespectful to wear on St. Patrick's Day?
Anything that's not green.
Orange.
Orange.
I have no idea why that is. It's just that's kind of old folklore. Okay, so if somebody says the traditional cheerful Irish greeting, it's often associated with St. Patrick's Day. What do they say? You know what that is? That traditional Irish greeting. And they go, oh, top of the morning to you.
Oh, my gosh. That's it. And you had a really good accent there.
And I'm not even Irish. Do you know how you respond to that?
No.
And the same to you, too.
And the same to you, too.
I think that's what you do. I'm not Irish. I just work on my accent. So since you are a connoisseur of all things Irish and music, which best-selling Irish band features Larry Mullen, Adam Clayton, The Edge, and Bono. And I literally was singing this song the other day.
I like Dropkick Murphy.
And I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Okay, so that's definitely not Dropkick Murphy.
That is not Dropkick Murphy. No, U2.
Really?
Yeah, I thought you would know that.
I didn't know that U2 was an Irish band. I don't know how I got that mixed.
According to folklore, what's a leprechaun's occupation? Other than stealing me pot of gold.
That's what I assumed
it
was.
No, think of the stories. The stories back with the leprechauns, and you would leave these out at night, and the story is the leprechauns.
He's a shoemaker.
There you go.
Because I remember his big shoes. That's what made me think about
it. There you go. I keep on thinking of the movies, The Leprechaun.
I know.
I love those. Those make me laugh all the time. I love them. According to legend, what animal did St. Patrick drive out of Ireland?
Oh, I have no idea.
Your favorite animal in the whole world.
Okay, that means it's not my favorite. It's got to be snakes.
There it is. That's the legend. But interestingly enough, the legends say that St. Patrick, he was considered the savior of Ireland. He chased the snakes from the island. But interesting is that snakes are not a common reptile naturally found on Ireland.
Well, that's good to hear
they
because
they are not commonly found.
I've mentioned
I'm sorry, not naturally commonly found. There you go.
I like this because I've mentioned it many a times that Ireland's on my bucket list to go visit. And I think you want to go see Ireland
too,
right?
I would love to go see Ireland. I think that would be awesome. And my last tidbit about Ireland, this actually kind of raised my eyebrows. Irish whiskey isn't the same as Scottish whiskey. I did not know this particular part. Now, Scotch is consumed with malted barley and water, while Irish whiskey is made from fermented corn, wheat, and barley. Plus, Irish whiskey usually is distilled three times rather than twice.
Well, considering you and I both are lovers of whiskey.
Now I'm going to drink a little whiskey and then I'm going
to talk. I feel like we need to be heading to Ireland soon.
Ireland's on me bucket list.
I already did a little look to find out where my countrymen are from and nearest airport. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can fly into Dublin and it's only a 70-minute drive. So we're going to have to check it out, Tigger. Okay, we're going to take a short break, folks. When we come back, we've got more of The Ben Show.
Wolf Cattle presents the 38th opportunity sale of 2026, Thursday, April 2nd. 300 registered limousine, Limflex, and Angus bulls, fall yearlings and spring yearlings, plus 30 registered females. Online only with live bidding through Superior Livestock and DV Auction. Sale details at wolfcattle.com, DV Auction, Superior Livestock, and Ranch Channel. Wolf Cattle, where beef is our business.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, and right along shotgun, my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Camels have been disqualified from beauty contest over cosmetic enhancements. You heard me right. Officials in Oman, the country, say 20 camels have been disqualified from a major beauty competition after inspectors discovered the animals had undergone cosmetic procedures. The disqualifications happened during the 2026 Camel Beauty Show Festival in Oman. Veterinary inspectors found evidence that some camels had been given cosmetic injections and other enhancements. According to reports from Vice Media and Forbes, the procedures included hyaluronic acid injections in the lips, dermal fillers, silicone around the nose, Botox to soften facial features, and silicone wax used to inflate the animal's humps. Those treatments violate competition rules, which require that camels be judged only on their natural physical traits. As you can tell, I'm having fun with this one. Camel beauty contests are popular across the Gulf region, where prized animals compete for prestige and sometimes large prize money. Judges typically evaluate features like the camel's coat, neck, head, and hump, traits meant to reflect selective breeding rather than cosmetic enhancement. Organizers, including the Camel Club and the Oman Camel Racing Federation, say they're committed to preventing manipulation in the competitions and plan to enforce strict penalties for breeders who break the rules. The incident has also renewed debate about how far some competitors are willing to go in pursuit of victory, especially when a camel looks, as officials put it, too good to be true. So I'm giggling about this one, but part of this makes me think of the livestock showing world, Tigger. So I'm going to throw this over at you. Have you ever heard of this being done where they're using Botox and all of these different things that us ladies do to look younger and better? Have you seen this ever in the livestock showing world?
Cheaters going to find a way to cheat. I'm going to say that. Cheaters find a way to cheat, but in the livestock showing world, and they have cracked down on so much of this. There's so many tests that animals have to go through and verification. Now, of course, I mean, there is the primping and prepping, if you will, to get animals looking a certain way. I understand that, but cheaters are going to find a way to cheat no matter what.
Interesting. I just know that sometimes when I go with you, and what is it called in the back when they're prepping the animals? What's that called?
Oh, when they're fitting them?
There you go.
Oh,
That was a new term for me. Can you explain to everybody kind of what fitting is?
What, when they're fitting the animal?
Yeah.
That's just the prepping and the primping, and you're getting, you know, like on your show steer, you're getting the hair to lay a certain way. It's trimmed a certain way to make them look the best that they possibly can.
So here's my other question for you going down that road is, I've seen this, and maybe I misunderstood what was in the aerosol or what was in the can. Are they allowed to use like little colorings or like, I almost call it hairspray, but something to make them?
Some places, no. Some places you can't use hair dye or you can't use paint to add to the black of a leg or something like that. Some places that is outlawed. Some places you are allowed to use paints to help make the whites whiter, the certain red and auburn's color blend a little bit more.
And just so people understand, too, these are all washable. They wash out as soon as the competition's over with.
You take them to the wash rack and everything washes out. But some places is very strict on the livestock showing part. You go down to Houston and, like, their steer shows, they're slick shorn.
What's that mean?
They're shaved down to the skin.
Oh, really? I've never seen that.
They can only have hair that's a certain length. Yeah, they slick shear some of their steers when you get to different shows in the South.
So recently you showed me some pictures because, I mean, the Houston Stock Show is just wrapped up and such like that. But there's other shows that have been going on. Now, how many women out there have fallen in love with the fluffy cow, the Highlander, right? And you are showing me, though, actually how pretty they are once they're clipped.
They are a gorgeous animal. Not that you need to own a little fluffy cow.
You've got enough
that are not little and they're not fluffy cows. They just are under the guise of a cow. But I'm from the world where any animal that is presented to the best of its ability looks good. It doesn't matter if it's in a steer show or if you're in the club lamb deal or you're dragging goats around or pigs, or I guess I have gotten into like chickens or, you know, rabbits, but horses the same way. Well, I mean, make them look their best they possibly can.
I am going to say, because, you know, him and I both being raised around cattle our entire life have always owned them. If you've not seen a Highlander that's been clipped and trimmed, I didn't even recognize it. You had to actually tell me, do you know what that is?
I was showing you pictures from, I think it was Louisville, that I was showing you some pictures. And I was like, I do think I want one. They're not little fluffy cows.
I guess it's proof that anything can clean up good, right?
Anything. So just like in the livestock showing world, the top ones can command top dollar. Do you have any idea what some of these camels sell for, some of these beauty contest pageantry type camels?
I have no idea.
Take a stab at this thing.
Part of me wants to think that people to go to that kind of risk to make them look better, they must go for quite a bit. So I'm going to say maybe over, you know, $250,000.
Well, okay, you're not off on that. I mean, if you want to get into the racing camel business, you better start talking millions, because some of the elite ones, they can fetch in between $5 and $10 million on the elite racing camels. The beauty contestant ones that you were talking about, where people got kicked out because they were cheating, as high as $30 million.
Wow, no,
when they're
wonder.
Selected for these breeding categories. So there you go. If you need to get in the camel business, get the checkbook out, y'all.
That's all for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending us in any questions you might have. If you know of something spot worthy we need to share, as well as what's going on in your area, we love hearing those field reports. That number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of the show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Finally, big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.